Good morning, dear Sangha. Good morning, friends. Welcome to the retreat of 21 days with the theme, The Eyes of the Buddha. Many of us have come from Europe, America, and elsewhere. And your coming has modified deeply our Sangha here in Plum Village. You have brought with you your wisdom, your insight, your solidity, your happiness, your sorrow, your suffering. The Sangha of Plum Village is no longer the Sangha of Plum Village. We are now a greater, a larger Sangha. This is a new Sangha for all of us, for all of us. The coming together of a Sangha is a great event, always. We are attracted to each other because we share the same concern, the same interest, the same kind of joy. When scientists study about behavior, social behavior of animals and insects, they have spoken of inter-attraction. Living beings like bees, termites, ants, they feel wonderful being together. They are social animals. They want to be with each other. They feel more secure. They feel happier being together. You cannot keep a bee alone, isolated, because only after a few hours or a few days the bee will dry up. Without the beehive, a bee cannot really be a bee anymore. In Vietnam we used to say that a practitioner who has left his or her Sangha is like a tiger leaving his mountain. After having left the Sangha, the practitioner will abandon her practice, or his practice, in just a few months. And he or she may die as a practitioner, like a bee without the community of bees. When the tiger left her mountain and go to the lowland, she will be caught by humans and killed. A person who is without a Sangha, a practitioner who is without a Sangha, cannot continue his or her practice. That is something we feel very strongly. We know that our practice can be nourished and grow only in the context of a Sangha. And that is why each of us feels that she or he should be a Sangha builder. Because with a Sangha, we feel more solidity, security, joy. and happiness. So as practitioners, we want to be with each other. There is the equivalent, something that is equivalent of inter-attraction. We are motivated by the same desire to practice for our transformation, for our healing, and for the transformation and healing of the world. We know that a solitary ant cannot do much. She just goes around. She does not look as if she has a mind, or a thought, an imagination, or ideas. But when you put 100 of ants together, they behave as an organism, a real organism. And you begin to see they operating as an organism with intelligence, with thinking, with planning. A solitary ant has only a few neurons strung together by fibers. If you look at her, you don't see intelligence manifesting. You don't see thinking. You don't see ideas. But when they got together, something began to manifest. If you observe an ant hill with thousands and thousands of ants moving together, working together, you can see very clearly their intelligence, their ideas, their thinking, and their talent also. Man is a kind of social animal. When we observe the bees or the ants, we have the impression that we can learn something from them. There are scientists who have used the word super organism to describe the life, the reality of these communities of social insects, super organism. Why? Because each individual bee or ant can live his or her life as individuals, but they always live the life of the community, of the organism. They live together at the same time as a cell, as a tissue of the same body. And interestingly enough, we observe, when we observe, we see that there are no egoistic acts. There's no jealousy, there's no anger, there's no discrimination. Every individual works naturally for the well-being of the whole community. And the ant and the bee does not dream much of the future. They do not get caught in the past. They are there, living the present moment and doing whatever they need to do for the well-being of the whole community. You know, a ant hill can last for many, many years. Maybe 60 years or more. But the life of an ant is only for a month or so. In 1 month or so, the whole generation of ants would vanish. And every day they die at the rate of 3 or 4%. And yet they don't think of the future. They are doing their best. They don't think whether they will be there when the anthill is finished. And they don't care whether there is in some distance another hill is being built. When you observe the bees, the termites, and the ant, you see that they are perfect in the way they live their daily life. They do not have egoistic act. Everything they do is for the good, the well-being of the whole community. Therefore, there is no jealousy, there is no fear, there is no discrimination. But there is something lacking in the communities of bees or ants or termites. That is the awareness that they are there, alive, living for themselves, for the community, and for others. This is something we can notice when we observe a Sangha. Members of a Sangha can very well live his or her their individual life, but at the same time they can play the role of a tissue, of a cell of the community. As Sangha builders, as people who live 24 hours a day with the Sangha, we continue to learn a lot about Sangha as an organism. When you live in a Sangha, you try to be like a cell in the body. You try to be like a bee in a beehive for the well-being of the community. And because there is well-being in the community, there is well-being in every one of us. And the Sangha can serve as refuge for many, many people who come. And that is our practice every day. How to live your individual life at the same time with your life as an organism. And when you are capable of living like that, you are no longer the victim of your jealousy, your anger, your discrimination, your fear. Because you are the organism. The Sangha has become your body. And therefore, besides having your individual body, you have the Sangha body, Sangha Kaya. It's strange that in the teaching of Buddhism, we speak a lot about Buddha Kaya, the body of the Buddha. And we speak about the body of the Dhamma, Dhammakaya, but we have to wait until the end of the 20th century in order to speak about the Sanghakaya, the body of the Sangha. The Sangha is our body. It is like the beehive is the body of the bee. The ant hill is the body of the ant. And when we are capable of living in that spirit, considering the Sangha as our body, most of the suffering will vanish. And taking refuge in the Sangha is not an expression of faith. It is a practice. Taking refuge in the Sangha means learning to live as a cell in the organism called Sangha, living as a tissue. And this is something possible. We who live in Plum Village 24 hours a day, we can see that. We know that if we are capable of looking at the Sangha as our body, and then most of our suffering will vanish. And we get a lot of joy. Seeing the Sangha body as your Sangha is a practice. And mindfulness is the kind of energy that helps you to do so. It is something that we can do. It looks like the purpose of the bees is to build a hive. It looks like the purpose of the ants is to build a hill. And that is inscribed in their DNA, in every cell of the body. They are there to build communities. And when we observe them, we see the intelligence, we see the experiences, we see the wisdom that has that have been transmitted to them by many generations of bees and ants or termites. When we observe humans doing things together, we can see also the wisdom, the intelligence, the experiences handed down to them by many generations of humans that had come before. The social insects, they do have means of communication. They don't use language like us, but they do communicate. The bees can dance. They can release a pheromone message in forms of chemicals that can communicate very well and sometimes perfectly. The ant can also dance and make sonorous vibrations to communicate. They also release pheromone. Tiny particles of chemicals that can communicate so well. We humans, we use language. We know to store information. We know how to process the storing, the processing of informations. We know how to retrieve informations. We know how to communicate. We communicate by language. We use fax, we use email, we use telegrams and telephones and so on. But sometimes communication is different, difficult. In a practicing Sangha, we do communicate with each other also. But the base of our communication is silence. We do have Dharma discussion sessions, but Dharma discussion is not the only way by which we communicate with each other. We communicate in several ways, and mostly in silence. When we come together and sit, we don't say anything, but we communicate. And the message is very clear. My dear brothers, my dear sisters, I'm here for you. I feel so glad to be surrounded by you, members of my Sangha. I feel secure, I feel safe, I feel happy, I feel solid when I find myself surrounded by my Sangha. That is the kind of communication that we make during sitting meditation, and that is only the basic one. Because in sitting meditation, we learn how to really be there with our full presence. We learn how to establish ourselves in the here and the now. We know that life is available only in the here and the now. That is why sitting is to be in a position where you can touch life deeply, and all the wonders of life are available to you from inside and from outside at the same time. And this is a very powerful communication. Dear Sangha, it's wonderful that we are there as a body, a Sangha body. I don't have to strive anymore, to fight anymore, to run anymore. I feel at home with my Sangha. With the Sangha body, I feel a lot of energy. I will not dry up like a bee when kept alone for half a day or 2 days, because my body is here. My Sangha body is here with me all the time. Sitting in a Sangha, even if you don't do anything, make you alive, make you solid, make you happy. Only if you know how to allow yourself to be your Sangha, if you know how to allow yourself to be penetrated by the Sangha, so that communication become possible. Communication, yes. We have very sophisticated instruments and means for communication, but very often we feel stuck. But this communication is based on freedom. Freedom from discrimination. Freedom from the notion of self. Because we know how to allow ourselves to be the Sangha. We know how to allow our body to become part of the Sangha body, and the Sangha body to be our body. The bees are always doing something, building the hive. The ants are doing, are always trying to do something, building the hill. We humans, we members of the Sangha, maybe our spiritual vocation or our biological structure tell us that we are there also to build some kind of hill, some kind of hive. But we don't do it by our work alone. We don't do it by action alone. We do it by non-action, namely being. Because doing is not the only thing we can do as humans and as members of a Sangha. Being is the basic action. It can be called non-action, but that is the foundation of all meaningful actions. So when you observe the organism of a Sangha, you see there is action, but you see there is non-action. It means being, and being is an art. When we come together and sit like this, we are not doing anything. But our being together, our confidence in the practice, in the Sangha, is a tremendous source of energy that is able to heal us, to transform us, and to bring us a lot of solidity, freedom, and joy. So non-action, being is the foundation of all kind of actions. When you practice walking together, we don't do anything. We just enjoy every step we make. Have you seen a centipede walking? There's so many feet. We are like that. We are just one body. We have so many feet walking at the same time. And where do we go? You know, we go nowhere. Because our destination is the here and the now. We are life. Deeply life and all its wonders that are available in that moment. So when we do walking meditation, we don't do anything, we don't fight, we don't strive for anything. We just learn to be, touching the earth with our feet, deeply, and realizing that we are alive as an organism, as a Sangha, that is wonderful enough, that is good enough for our transformation and healing. The healing elements can be found not only in the action, but mostly in the non-action. Yes, our being. And the quality of being is what we learn from the Dharma. The moment when you arrive in Plum Place, you become a cell of the organism, in the organism. There are monks, nuns, and other people who live in Plum Village permanently. Each of them is also a cell of the organism. The monks, the nuns, and the lay men and women in Plum Village, they do not consider them to be the host and you to be the guest, no. They look upon you as members of the Sangha. They do not hesitate to invite you to share the full life of the Sangha. A nun is a cell of the Sangha body. You, each of you, are also a cell of the Sangha body. You learn to practice so that you can be really an organism. And that organism is called Sangha. And thanks to the Dharma, thanks to the practice, our body, our Sangha body, our organism can be something like a super organism. Or if you want, a holy organism, because Sangha is something really holy. What makes the Sangha a holy entity is the energy of mindfulness, the energy of concentration and insight. And mindfulness is the kind of energy that we generate every day, every hour, every minute, every second, by the practice of mindful breathing, mindful walking, mindful sitting, mindful looking, mindful listening. Holy life is something possible, something that you can observe, that you can witness to. In our daily life, we live more or less in forgetfulness. We are caught in our regret and sorrow concerning the past. We are caught in our anxiety and fear concerning the future. We are caught by our craving. Our despair in the present moment. But with the energy of mindfulness, we can establish ourselves in the here and the now. We can be free from our regret concerning the past, our fear concerning the future, from the craving or the despair. That can come up in us in the present moment. With the energy of mindfulness, we can touch the wonders of life within us and around us. With the wonder, with the energy of mindfulness, we can recognize, embrace our fear, our anger, our craving, so that we can bring relief and the joy of life into ourselves and into our Sangha. And this is something happening all the time during our daily life of practice. And this is the element called holy in the Sangha, the holy Sangha. A Sangha that is inhabited by the energy of mindfulness is a true Sangha. And we know that if mindfulness is there, concentration is there, and insight is there also. And when you are inhabited by the energies of mindfulness, concentration and insight, and the Buddha is there, the Buddha can be touched through the Sangha. And of course the Dharma can be touched through the Sangha. The Sangha is, the Sangha carries within herself the presence of the Buddha and the Dharma. And that is why it's so important that we take refuge in the Sangha. Maybe if we don't like to use the word superorganism, we use the word holy organism. Because the Sangha is a jewel. The Sangha is not just a group of people. The Sangha is something much more than a group of people. Members of a Sangha have the same kind of affinity, have the same kind of aspiration, the same kind of need, the same kind of practice, the same kind of concern. Members of the Sangha are aware that suffering is there. And there is a need to understand deeply the nature of suffering. Members of the Sangha are aware that the cessation of suffering, the transformation and healing is possible. Members of the Sangha are aware of the fact that there are ways to transform and to heal. And members of the Sangha have confidence in that way. It's called Marga, the way. The way leading to the cessation of suffering, to the transformation and healing. And this way can be seen in the daily practice. When a member of the Sangha walks, she walks in such a way that makes life possible right in that moment. With her foot, she touched the earth. She touched it so deeply that you can see the energy of concentration of mindfulness in her emanating from herself. She really invests herself into the act of making a step. And when she does that, she communicates. She does not need to emit, to release any pheromone. She does not need to talk. She does not need to telephone to send fax. She just walk like this. And by each step she makes, she cultivates more freedom, more solidity, and more joy. And this she can do every time she needs to move from one place to another place. And we humans, we need to move from one place to another place many times during the day. And therefore we have plenty of opportunities to practice so that each step can bring us more solidity, more joy, and especially more freedom. Because every step you make like that help you to reclaim your freedom that you have lost in the hectic kind of life out there in society. The permanent residents of Plum Village, they are instructed to walk like that every time they need to move from one place to another place. Whether they are monks or nuns or lay people, they are instructed to do that, because when they do that, they do for themselves, they do for the whole Sangha, and they do for the greater Sangha that is there, is out there, everywhere. We build the hill, not only for the sake of the hill itself. We build the hill for the sake of the whole world. Because the Sangha is a refuge, is a holy refuge. People suffer so much. They don't know where to turn to. And Sangha building is the most noble task. The 20th century was characterized by individualism. A lot of destruction, a lot of sorrow, of fear, of alienation. The 21st century should be different. We learn how to live like bees in a beehive. We learn how to live like cells in the same body. Our practice is Sangha building, taking refuge in the Sangha. Sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. That is our practice. So when you have arrived, you have become a cell of the body, you can do Sangha building by your walking, by your breathing, by your sitting. It brings you a lot of joy, a lot of relief, a a lot of peace, a lot of freedom, and it offers the Sangha a lot of joy, a lot of peace, a lot of liberty also. And you don't have to strive. You allow the Sangha to transport you, to protect you, like the bees. They really take refuge in the beehive. Like the ants, they really take refuge in the ant hill. Even if you have come with a lot of pain, a sorrow and fear within yourselves, allow yourself to be embraced by the Sangha. Dear Sangha, I have come with a lot of pain, a lot of sorrow, a lot of fear. Please embrace me. Please embrace my fear, my sorrow, my pain. I surrender to the Sangha. If you are capable of practicing like that, transformation may be obtained in just a few hours. If you continue to suffer because you are still caught in your notion of self, you think that that is your suffering, that is your pain, that is your sorrow. Now if you are capable of seeing you as a cell in the body of the Sangha, that you trust the Sangha, that you surrender yourself to the Sangha together with your intelligence, your talent, your sorrow, your fear, and then the energy of the Sangha will be able to take you in, to embrace you, to transform you, and you get the relief right away, right away. And your relief is the relief of the Sangha. I said in the beginning that your coming has modified very deeply the Sangha of Plum Village, because you have brought your wisdom, your insight, your happiness, and your sorrow, your fear. And everyone of us, whether you have been permanent residents of Plum Village, or whether we have just come, all of us become a cell in a new body, new Sangha body. And if you know how to trust, how to authorize yourself to be whole, to be held by the Sangha, to surrender to the Sangha, if you know how to be just a cell of the Sangha body, I promise that that kind of relief and transformation can take place in just a few hours. When we come together and enjoy breakfast, this is also practice. You don't eat breakfast for yourself alone. You eat for the Sangha. When you show the food, you show it for the Sangha, please. It is possible to do so. I remember one day we had a picnic in the mountains, not very far from Montreal. We had a retreat there on the mountains. And that day, members of the Sangha were having a picnic in the wood. I took a walk and I saw Chen Ke, a member of the Montreal Sangha. He was eating his bread. sitting at the foot of a tree. And when he saw me, I asked him, "What are you doing?" And he said, "Well, I'm feeding you Thầy, I'm feeding the Sangha." And that was a good answer. Your well-being is the well-being of the Sangha. Everything you do is for the Sangha. It means for every one of us and for yourself. That is the behavior of the bees. That is the behavior of the ants. And if you can get out of the notion of self, suffering will vanish very soon. Very soon. And a 21-day retreat is something very rare. We cannot afford to have a 21-day retreat several times a year. And therefore we should treasure this opportunity. Noble silence is a wonderful means in order for us to enjoy deeply our 21-day retreats. To our knowledge, the 21-day retreats always bring transformation and healing to many, many people. And you had been there in St. Michael College 2 years ago. You would have noticed that the suffering was immense. But after 21 days practice, so many people felt release from their suffering. And that is thanks to the power of the Sangha. It is the Sangha that heals you, that allows you the opportunity to transform. And the Sangha, who is the Sangha? The Sangha is you. Therefore, during the 21-day retreat here, please do not think of the monks, the nuns, and other lay people in privilege as your host. And you are only the guest. No. You are looking on you as members of our Sangha. And your joy, your happiness will be our joy and our happiness. You can learn something from the bees. You can learn something from the termites. We are no longer subject to our individual sorrow and fear and discrimination and pain. We give up. We become a cell in the body of the Sangha. And suddenly we feel much, much better. We can release all these negative energies. It's much easier than we have thought. If during the breakfast you get caught in your worries, your fear, look at the Sangha and release that fear, that sorrow. Well, I am eating for the Sangha. I have to enjoy my breakfast. Because the Sangha expect me to enjoy the breakfast. Because eating breakfast and swallowing my fear and sorrow is not healthy for the Sangha. And the Sangha is there to support you, to remind you that eating breakfast is a way to nourish the Sangha with stability and freedom. So that is the way you should eat our breakfast, which is something you are going to do very, very soon now. And enjoy every morsel of your breakfast like that. You know that you are feeding the Sangha, and you know what the Sangha need. Not sorrow, not fear, but stability, joy, and liberty. So eating breakfast is a deep practice. And if you allow yourself to be touched with by the Sangha, if you know that Sangha is there surrounding you, embracing you, you eat your breakfast with a lot of joy, not difficult at all. Eating breakfast is a deep practice. And then after that, you enjoy walking together. Eating breakfast does cannot be described as work, labor. And walking meditation cannot be described as labor. And both act, both practice can be very pleasant, very nourishing and healing. So walking, not as individuals, you walk as an organism. Your feet are my feet, and my feet are your feet. I walk in the best way I can. I enjoy every step I make, not only for myself, but for you. And if you are released from your suffering and your fear, and if you can touch the earth with joy, you nourish me, you nourish the whole Sangha. I have arrived. That is my insight. When I breathe in and make two steps, I have arrived. I have arrived. Peacefully, gently, but very determined. We have been running for all our life. It's now time to stop. If you are not capable of stopping, how can you enjoy touching the earth with our feet? The miracle is not to walk on water or on fire. The miracle is to walk on earth. And any of us can perform this miracle. The miracle is to walk on earth. That is a statement made by Zen Master Rinzai. If you can establish yourself in the here and the now and make a step and touch the wonders of life in the here and the now, you are performing that miracle. The miracle said the Marche sur Terre. That is the title of a book published in French, The Miracle of Mindfulness. And you walk in such a way that the Kingdom of God is available to you right here, right now. This is possible. With the support of the Sangha, this is possible to walk in the Kingdom of God, to walk in the Pure Land. There is not a day when I do not walk in the Kingdom of God. There is not a single day when I do not walk in the Pure Land of the Buddha. You need some freedom. You need to release your sorrow, your fear, in order to do so. And it is exactly with the Sangha that you can perform that miracle. The Sangha has a tremendous source of energy. If you know how to take refuge, to surrender to the Sangha, to allow the Sangha to take care of everything, you just enjoy being a self of the Sangha, that is enough. And please don't say that you cannot do that. When you sign up for the retreat, you express already your intention to do that, taking refuge in the Sangha. and enjoy every step you make. Nourish the Sangha, heal the Sangha with your steps. You are a Sangha builder now, and later on, wherever you find yourself, you continue to be a Sangha builder, because our world, our society needs badly, desperately the presence of Sangha builders in order to offer refuge for so many living beings who are getting lost every day. I have arrived because the destination I want to arrive is life. And life is available only in the here and the now. When I take one breath, breathing in, I bring my body and my mind together. In the state of being, in that state of being, I am available to life, and life is available to me. The oneness of body and mind, realized by just one in-breath, can make you available to life and its wonder, and make life and its wonder available to you. Just one in-breath, and during that in-breath, you make two steps. I have arrived. I have arrived. That is enlightenment. That is awareness already. And suddenly you are capable of stopping, of being there in the here and the now. That is the fruit of the practice. You don't need to practice several days or several years in order to have that. Just one in-breath, and suddenly you are there, fully present, body and mind united, and you need to take one step in order to enter the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is ready, is available. Only in our state of forgetfulness, we are not ready. And therefore, mindful breathing brings us back to the here and the now, body and mind united, and we only need one step to enter the kingdom of God. I have arrived. I have arrived. Arrived where? Arrived at the kingdom of God, at the pure land of the Buddha, the here and the now, life available in the here and the now. And when you breathe out, you say, I am home. We have been searching for our home, our true home. We have not found it. The Buddha told us our home is in the here and the now. If you want to get in touch with your ancestors, you want to get in touch with the Buddha, with the kingdom of God, and then go back to the here and the now, and mindfully enough, concentrated enough, you'll be able to touch everything you look for in the here and the now. To me, the kingdom of God is now or never. The Pure Land also. And the practice is clear. And when you practice, I have arrived, I'm home, you stop running. Our ancestors have been running, and in our turn, we continue to run. And the Dharma says, stop. Be alive. Be in the here and the now. Not only in sitting, you realize that, but in walking, you realize that. And later on, while you wash your dishes, you realize that also. It's wonderful washing dishes and arrive in the here and the now. It's very nice washing the dishes in the kingdom of God. That those of us who wash dishes in hell, it's much nicer, much more pleasant to wash the dishes in the kingdom of God. I have arrived, I am home, in the here in the now. Because the here and the now is the real address of your true home. The address of all Buddhas and Bodhisattvas, the address of the Kingdom of God. Herenow.com. It's very quick if you want to go home, because your home is the here and the now. And as a Sangha, it's not difficult. To go home is not difficult, because the Sangha energy is powerful. I know that. No matter how talented you are, and if you are only a solitary bee, you dry up. But with the Sangha, you have an opportunity to express all your talent and nourish the Sangha, heal the Sangha with your talent, and get the nourishment and the healing from other members of the Sangha. In the here and the now, I am solid. I am free. If you know how to stop, to arrive, and enjoy the step you make, the element of solidity and the element of freedom become a reality. This is not auto-suggestion. If you have made a few steps in mindfulness and concentration, if you are able to arrive in the here and the now, and then solidity and freedom will become reality, and that makes your joy, your happiness, grow. Solidity and freedom are the two characteristics of Nirvana. The Buddha said you can touch Nirvana in the here and the now, even with your body. The body can touch Nirvana by touching solidity and freedom. Every step you make help to cultivate your solidity and your freedom, because no happiness can be possible without some solidity and freedom, and all of us know that. In the ultimate, I dwell. There are two dimensions to reality, the historical dimension and the outer dimension. We have historical concerns. We are concerned with our health, with our success, with the well-being of our family, our society, yes. That is called historical concern. But deep in us, there is an ultimate concern. We want to touch the Absolute. We want to realize our true home. And in the teaching of the Buddha, the two dimensions are not separated from each other. If you know how to touch the historical dimension deeply with mindfulness and concentration, you can touch at the same time the ultimate dimension. And therefore, with solidity and freedom, you can very well touch the ultimate, your nature of no birth and no death, your nature of suchness. And that is something we will develop later in the retreat. So let us memorize these words, because they can help us to enjoy sitting meditation and walking meditation. You can use this while doing things like dishwashing, bathroom cleaning also. Everything we do or we do not do in our daily life is for the practice. of nourishing the Sangha, nourishing ourselves. The Sangha, you know, that is the refuge of the world. And as good practitioners, each of us have to take the vow to build Sangha. That is the most noble task of our century. Shall we sing together? I have arrived, I am home, in the hill and in the now. I have arrived, I am home. Enjoy your breakfast in noble silence, and after that we have walking together. This is a real Dharma festival.